fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Just a couple of weeks away from the celebration of Easter, friends, and we're making our way through Lent and soon to approach Holy Week and the great conflict, the great spiritual battle that Jesus has against the kingdom of darkness, against Satan and all his minions. It reaches its climax, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ destroys the principalities and powers. He destroys the work of the enemy on the cross. St. Paul tells us he disarmed the principalities and powers. He made a public show of them. He really led the enemy full of pride and hatred and rage toward Christ, overstepped his bounds. He did the one thing he never should have done, which is to shed the blood that makes us all clean, to shed the precious blood of Jesus Christ that leads to the forgiveness of sins. Last week, I talked about the temptation of Jesus in the desert where the devil tried to knock Jesus off course to get him to forget his fundamental identity as a son of God and his destiny as Messiah who's come to die, not to come and to rule the world with all the gold and the glory as Satan tried to offer him, but to be God's faithful son who becomes a sacrifice for sin. And it's that sacrifice for sin, his giving of his life, his offering his life to the Father, an offer of love, obedience, and surrender to the Father. And that act of love, humanity has been saved and the back of the devil has been broken. And so we're going to walk through that spiritual battle, but a lot's going to be revealed about the human heart along the way as we see the apostles struggle and we see the betrayal of Judas, the denial of Peter, the apostles running to protect themselves in the confusion of the moment. In the final hour, Jesus described it as the devil's hour, the hour of darkness. We're also celebrating this in the year of mercy, that this Jubilee year of mercy, especially, and I encourage you, friends, to take advantage of this Jubilee year of mercy and to dial into the grace of God's mercy, to go to confession, to walk through a Jubilee door. You can really receive tremendous grace in this year if you celebrate it. Just look it up. Just Google, what's the Jubilee grace? How do we celebrate it fully? And you'll get some good wisdom from the church on how to do that. But as I've been meditating on this year of mercy, of course, Sister Faustina Kowalska, the saint who Pope John Paul II had canonized, and it's the divine mercy that she is the one who brought to the church this focus on the divine mercy and her diary of her relationship with Jesus, the Father, and what the Lord showed her, that this was a unique time in history, that God was offering his mercy in a profound way, and he's calling the world to receive his mercy, the forgiveness of our sins, essentially. I mean, you think about what is mercy, what is grace. A couple weeks ago, I gave a talk here on Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul talks about God's grace and God's mercy. He gives the biblical worldview. Because of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and humanity's being trapped in sin, we are by nature children of wrath, he said. Then he went on to, that's the bad news, and he goes on to give the good news, which is, he said, but God, who is rich in mercy out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through sin, has brought us together through life in Christ. His great mercy. And grace is receiving what we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. We deserve separation from God. Sin separates us from God. We really do deserve to be in the judgment seat before God, and every human heart falls short. But Jesus stood in that place for us, and he took on sin, and he dealt with sin. I mean, he broke sin's back. He himself never sinned, but he destroyed the power of sin at work in us. So thinking about that mercy, and then thinking about the divine mercy, I was so struck. My wife and I and our family at times have prayed the Chaplet of the Divine Mercy. It's a beautiful prayer. And of course, Sister Faustina's words, Jesus, I trust in you, is such an important, simple prayer. And what's at the heart of responding to God's mercy, Lord, I trust in your mercy and your love, that you love me in your Son and his sacrifice has become for me the river of grace and your mercy, lifting the judgment that was on my life so that I could become a son or a daughter and to live with you. And the divine mercy is so beautiful. It's filled with so much hope. It's God. It's God's love and God's mercy. But I was also struck by this great saint of mercy, how in her relationship with Jesus and all that Jesus taught her about this time of mercy, in fact, I'll read some things where she's very clear that why the Lord was revealing this to her was he was going to offer for a season his mercy with great power in the world, call people to mercy because he was going to come again. And so it's interesting, you know, so we know that not everything a saint says is infallible, but the fact that her diary and her fundamental revelation that she received from Jesus, small r, the what Jesus showed her and taught her, that the Holy Father would raise her up and acknowledge her as a saint who's living with God now, he was affirming the fundamental message that she was communicating. And so one of the elements of it that is so striking that almost never gets talked about is what Sister Faustina had to say about hell. That part of Jesus' work with her, part of what he wants the world to know, is he used Sister Faustina and he showed her hell. He gave her a vision of hell. And sometimes we think that to talk about hell, to think about hell, to somehow have God and hell in the same sentence, Jesus and hell in the same sentence, that all of it is negative and it's bad. It's very rare that you hear a good homily or good preaching on hell. And many times I think preachers, priests, others don't want to take it up, the theme up, because they don't want to alienate people. And sort of, we sometimes approach God's revelation, those of us who are teachers of the Word of God, we approach God's revelation, his word, what he's given to us, with kind of therapeutic eyes. And we say, well, can our people handle this? No. Can they handle this? Yes. And we edit the word of God. We don't give people the full revelation. And it's so amazing to me that here this saint of mercy, who's bringing so much hope to the world, God is using, also was the one who Jesus used to reassert again the teaching of on hell, the reality of hell. And she say, oh, we'll read later today and tomorrow, where she said that Jesus did this specifically because he doesn't want anyone to be able to say that they were not warned about hell. But here's what she says about it. And I'm hoping to take today and the rest of this week to talk about first what Sister Faustina is saying, because I think in this year of mercy, we need to hear the whole story, right? It's important for us to see the gift that God is giving to us and what his mercy saves us from, which is a really big deal. It's as big as it gets. The stakes could not be higher. And then what the church fundamentally teaches about hell, and then some reflections on it as well. Here from her diary, paragraph 741, she said, I, Sister Faustina Kowalska, by the order of God, have visited the abysses of hell, so that I might tell souls about it and testify to its existence. The devils were full of hatred for me, but they had to obey me at the command of God. What I have written is but a pale shadow of the things that I saw. But I noticed one thing, that most of the souls there are those who disbelieved that there is a hell. Friends, we're living at a time when there's people ignore it. People deny it. Some people say they can be certain that no one is there. None of that is true. We don't know that. Contradicts God's word. We don't know for sure of any specific person who's there, but it doesn't mean that no one's there. Here's what she said about experience of hell. Just have a few minutes. I kind of want to run through it. And this is striking stuff, and it's very grim, but she's telling the truth. Today, I was led by an angel to the chasms of hell. It is a place of great torture. How awesomely large and extensive it is. The kinds of tortures I saw. She saw seven of them. The first torture constitutes hell is the loss of God. So people feel that deeply, profoundly, perpetually. The second is perpetual remorse of conscience. I did this. I chose this. And lives with tremendous despair and regret. The third is that one's condition will never change. The realization that really it's eternal. It's eternal punishment, just like Scripture says. The fourth is the fire that will penetrate the soul without destroying it, a terrible suffering since it is a purely spiritual fire, she said, lit by God's anger. But what is God's anger? Is God like stomping around in heaven angry? No. What we experience it is God's wrath, the choices that we make to resist God. We will experience the consequences of that. And hell is the eternal fixing of that decision, that free decision we make to not want God and to not follow God and his commands. The fifth torture is continual darkness and a terrible suffocating smell. And despite the darkness, the devils and the souls of the damned see each other and all the evil, both of others and their own. It's a grim picture. The sixth torture is the constant company of Satan. The seventh torture is the horrible despair and hatred of God, vile words and curses and blasphemies. These are the tortures suffered by all the damned together. But that is not the end of the suffering. She goes on. She says, there are special tortures destined for particular souls. These are the torments of the senses. Each soul undergoes terrible and indescribable sufferings related to the manner in which they have sinned. She said, I would have died. There are caverns and pits of torture where one form of agony differs from another. I would have died at the very sight of these tortures if the omnipotence of God had not supported me. And then here's the point that she makes of why the Lord revealed this to her. Let the sinner know that he will be tortured throughout all eternity in those senses which he made use of to sin. I'm writing this at the command of God so that no soul may find an excuse by saying that there is no hell or that nobody has ever been there. And so no one can say what it is like, how terribly souls suffer there. Consequently, I pray even more fervently for the conversion of sinners. I incessantly plead God's mercy upon them. Oh, my Jesus, I would rather be in agony until the end of the world amidst the greatest sufferings than to offend you by at least one sin. And so here she is, this saint of grace and mercy, and Jesus showed this to her because he could trust her to communicate it. Jesus does not want the world to think it's not real and that their freedom, which could literally lead to not separation from God here on earth only, but eternal separation, is real with real consequences. Just like our saying yes to sin on this earth and turning from God leads us to experiencing real consequences as a result of that sin. Sister Faustina said, oh, what graces I will grant to those who say the chaplet, speaking of the chaplet of divine mercy, and Jesus is speaking to her, speak to the world about my mercy. Let all mankind recognize my unfathomable mercy. It is a sign of the end times. After it will come the day of justice. While there is still time, let them have recourse to my mercy. That's God's heart. God desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of him, but he will not force us to love him. And mercy is not having to receive what we deserve because we say yes to God, repent for our sins, receive the forgiveness of sins and the sacrament of reconciliation, and God wipes it clean and makes all things new. That's what he wants for us, friends. The stakes are so high. Let's receive this calling to be witnesses to the Lord about the truth about what we're facing. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.